Good morning. We thank y'all for listening to us. I hope you got a big crowd around the radio as you're getting ready to go to Sunday school and church on this November the 3rd, the year 2019. So we welcome you. We're delighted that you've joined us. And we hope and pray that we'll be a blessing to you. And you are a blessing. Just to praying for us is a blessing to us. We need,
amen.
We need your prayers. We do not need any funds from you. The lessons are covered either by the Pickens Baptist Association or by some special private funds. So you just pray for us and listen and tell other people about it if it's worth your doing so. We've been studying now for quite a while about knowing God's will. And when I say quite a while, this is the fourth lesson on that. And how do you know God's will? Brother Pinion, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves.
I've advised individuals a long time now, Herschel. The individuals come to me and say, "Brother, I'm just confused and don't know what to do and don't know where to go and don't know where to turn." And the only thing I know to do, as far as that's concerned, is to wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told them now, the will of God will come to you if you will do the work of God long enough and right enough. God's will be revealed to you.
Are you saying that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step?
Absolutely.
First step.
And that's the same thing with this.
Yeah.
Unless a person is serving the Lord in their life, then God's will is going to remain at a great distance,
amen,
from them. But when you start serving the Lord, like, you know, just a normal serving, I'll say, going to church, going to Sunday school, studying the Word of God, a life of prayer, and commitment to the answers you get in your praying, and then God's will become real, clear, and relevant, and you can quit worrying about it then.
Okay. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. And we'll be talking about how does that affect the church, or how does the church affect you knowing God's will? Brother Pinion, introduce yourself.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Morris Bridge Baptist Church in North Tuscaloosa County, and I'm delighted to be here with you today, Herschel.
And I'm Herschel Owen. I'm pastor of Emmanuel Baptist in Gordo, Alabama, and I too am glad to be on the radio with you folks and here with Brother Pinion. We've got a couple other guys that help us, but today they were not able to come. They're not able to be available. So you pray for them, and they soon will be back with us again. God's will and the church. But we better have prayer, Brother Pinion,
yes, sir,
before we go any further, if you'll lead us.
I thank you, our Father, for every expression of your goodness, mercy, grace, light, and love for us. And you'll lead us, if we'll follow you, in paths of righteousness for your glory and for our good. And I pray, our Father, today you'll give wisdom to Herschel and I as we share this, and may we say something that's going to lodge in the heart of some individuals that are listening now. I pray, our Father, that you will stir to the point, mm-hmm, that they'll find somebody that'll lead them to Christ.
Yes, God.
May our Father, we be an instrument in your hands during this brief period of time to share something that brings that conviction on them and causes them to turn their lives over to you. Have your own will and way as you bless us together as we deliberate on it, as we study it, and as we speak concerning it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God's will and the church. What is your definition of a church? Opinion? Is it made out of brick? Is that a better church than one made out of maybe vinyl siding?
Well, it can be. The building can be made out of anything, or the building cannot even exist, because the church is the believers that have given their hearts and lives to Jesus and have their sins forgiven and their souls saved and their lives changed and their path made available by God's will for them. That's the church.
Exactly.
It's the human beings that belong to God that make up the church itself. Now, I've been with Dr. Lee. R.G. Lee was pastor of Bellevue Baptist mm-hmm. Church for a long time.
Great preacher
is right. And Dr. Lee never said anything about the church except the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's the building. And the church is the building, but the church is the people.
Right.
And he said, this is the house of God, yes, but it's not the church.
Absolutely.
It's the building.
And if we can understand that, it wouldn't make any sense at all for me to say that the brick building located Route 2, Corinth, Mississippi, or somewhere else, it would be very helpful, that building made out of brick and carpet on the inside, be very helpful in finding the will of God. No, it won't help you find the will of God.
The building won't.
But the folks that gather there
and
are housed in that building at worship time, various worship times, they can help you to know and to follow the will of God.
And the Spirit of God can help us to know the will of God, whether we were at church or whether we're somewhere else, as long as we are in communion with Him and He with us, then He's the one that leads us in our path of righteousness and everything else.
And that is what we must lean heavily on, the Holy Spirit of God.
Oh, yes.
And He, in turn, though, it's amazing, He equips people who are members of the church and are the church to give you advice that makes sense sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And will help you to know God's
will.
And so we're talking about God's will in the church today. We're talking about those dear precious saints of God that you fellowship with in the church house, or at their house, or at your house, or anywhere else that you meet them. They are the church.
And the communion of believers is going to be a tremendous asset, Herschel.
Amen.
In anybody's life that's trying to do the will of God for their own lives.
Absolutely.
For example, you and I in our relationship.
Sure.
And I have a pastor friend that I spoke with just this morning that was having some issues in his life and ministry. And he just called yesterday, it happened to have been my birthday, and he called about it. But he had called recently about some issues that was going on in his life. There wasn't no immorality in it, and no open sin in it. It was just something he was troubled about. And I began to talk to him about that and about how it had affected me and influenced me when I was much younger. And the communion that we have with one another is a tremendous asset. I mean, It's just something that we've got to have if we're going to be and remain successful in the ministry. We've got to scotch one another, I'll call it.
That's exactly right. And that's the only way you're going to be happy and contented is as people who have walked that road maybe ahead of you or longer than you, or sometimes even shorter, but they've had some experiences that now they can share with you as part of the church body, part of the body of the church, that will help you to know when these decision times come up in your life, which way is the best way to go.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, because sometimes, Herschel, a friend of yours has been in exactly the same situation you're in.
Right.
And have emerged from it to the glory of God. And when that occurs, that's a tremendous asset for whatever happens in anybody's life, that they can go to a person who's already experienced it and has already come out victorious over it.
Right. And if you're not a part of a church, and we're not talking about a church house, if you're not a part of a body of believers, then we would strongly, if you are a Christian, we would strongly recommend that you do become a part of a body of believers and Christians who you have confidence in and who have a testimony of serving God and walking with God, because they will be, like Brother Pinion said, they will be, well, it'll be invaluable. You can't put a price
on
what they'll mean to you. So we hope that that'll be the case. Now, if you're not a Christian, we're going to tell you a little bit later on in this lesson exactly how you can become one, and then you'll be a part of the body of the church. You'll be part of the church, the people of the church. So that's our prayer today, that you listen to us as we study together God's will and the church. I've divided this up into three different sections. The church is a redeemed people. Secondly, godly actions are caused by the Holy Spirit. Brother Pinion's already mentioned the Holy Spirit, and we'll tell you more about him in a little bit. The third thing, the multiple Holy Spirit's gifts are given to different members of the church so that they may give guidance to other Christians, so they may have the will of God known in their life. So we're going to begin, and if you don't have your, if you're where you can, if you get your Bible, and you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. That's where our study will be today. But Brother Pinion, would you read this first series
Delighted
of verses?
Delighted to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit."
Okay, so these people that Paul is writing to, the Corinthian people, were they from one of the tribes of Israel?
No. They were. Let's see. How would you word that? They're individuals that had been won and ministered to by Paul, and the Holy Spirit had used him in a wonderful way to make individuals in Corinth respond to the sacrifice of the Son of God. And so it's just they're folks like you and me.
Right. They're Gentile
that have been
people.
Grafted into the kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So they are genuine parts of the church. They did not.
Oh yes.
They did not come from the same background or the same genealogy as Paul and some of the others who were Hebrews of the Hebrew, that is, they were Jewish people, but they were Christian people. And sometimes redeemed people from even another country, not necessarily in this case, not necessarily an Israelite or the country of Judah. Israel was to the north and Judah to the south after Israel split during Solomon's son time of being king. But sometimes they need to be taught about God's will and about spiritual matters. But also, sometimes after they are saved, they will see things sometimes more clearly than even we do. That because they're not necessarily hindered by just something we've accepted as being a belief, and we didn't search it out or research it to see if that's what the Bible said. So the church is a redeemed people of every people, every nation, tongue.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes us the same. If I were to meet one of you, maybe you are from Japan, or maybe you're from another country, we might not could speak the same language. Maybe I couldn't speak the Japanese language, and maybe you could not speak English. But there would still be that bond, and there would be something that we could share with each other that would strengthen each other. And that's what Paul said here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, what are spiritual gifts, and Brother Penny?
Well, I think we're going to go into them in part of this, aren't we, Ursa?
We are.
In that third section of it. Spiritual gifts are things that God has given to individuals. For whatever reason God does it, it's His own. I don't know what it would be. But now, God's ministered to you in ways that He has not ministered to me. And in doing so, He has given you gifts of ministry,
right,
and godly work that He has not given to me. Now, there are common things that we both enjoy.
Right.
But for some reason or other, because of who you are and what you are and your background, He's going to qualify you, and He's going to gift you those gifts that you need in order to fulfill your ministry. And He's going to give to me the gifts that I need in order to be complete in my ministry to other folks.
Absolutely. Have you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together?
Well, I've tried, but I don't have enough patience, Herschel.
They just don't have the right parts in there.
Seems no, to look through a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle for one little old bitty thing that'll fit something else.
Got two arms and one leg or something.
And oh dear God, they got too many legs and too many holes in them for me.
But here's the thing I really wanted to come to on that. You see, I'm different from you. You're different from me.
Yeah.
We're different from some of our other friends that usually help us. We're different from other people at the church. But God gave us the gifts, and we, like Brother Pinion said, we're going to get into that, but a common thing we can say is He gave us those gifts so that we might make the picture complete.
Right.
And my gift is might be totally different. I've certainly not been gifted with the gift of singing. Request one, I'll try it, but I don't think we want to shut it down yet.
I don't think so right now.
But
I'd hate for me and you to break out in a song.
That's right. Those dear people out there, they'd be hunting a shower cap to put on their head this morning or something.
No, they'd be hunting for the knob on the radio to turn us off.
Oh, that's true. They would do that, I believe. But you have some gifts, and I have some gifts, and the people that's listening to us who are Christian have some gifts.
Yeah.
And God puts us in a local body of believers. And when we put all of our gifts together, then the church as Christ is the head of it, and as the Bible the guide for it, then it becomes complete.
And let me add this much to it, Herschel. Every saved man, woman, boy, or girl, God has gifted them for something. Now, he didn't, I don't know of a person yet, and you don't either, that was saved by grace, that God saved us to sit down.
That's right. Amen.
Now, he didn't do that. And if we got a listening audience now that's been saved and they're saved and doing nothing in the work of the kingdom of God in order to enhance the kingdom of God, they're making a terrible mistake, because they too were given gifts. And I've done study courses on this.
Yeah.
And taught folks on it, about the spiritual gifts that we might have. And sometimes we have to look for those mm-hmm. gifts. And sometimes we have to cultivate those gifts. But every single individual saved by grace, wherever you are and whoever you are, when you got saved, God gave you a gift.
Okay. At least
maybe more than one. Maybe more than one, yeah.
And it makes his work then to prosper and his work to go forward. I was talking to a man just very recently, and he said, we only got 5 members in our church. Just 5 that come. But he says, you know what? Their ministry primarily is to send Bibles, oftentimes in another language, overseas to missionaries and people that need those Bibles.
Yeah.
And he said that every time that we need Bibles, whether it's 50 Bibles or 5,000, it's amazing that God makes the money available to us. But I thought to myself, now here's a situation with only 5 members, but God has put the 5 that's needed in that little local assembly. And God's getting honor out of it. God's getting victory. Who knows the number of people that are being saved when they send Bibles to missionary? Who knows? But the whole thing of it is, now, there's only 5 of them, so maybe they can't do what a church with 5,000 can do.
Certainly not.
But they may be doing a better work than the 5,000, maybe 4,000. 999 of them sitting down. And you said, we don't sit.
Right.
Paul said, he never did say, sit down. He said, stand. He said,
right.
Be active. Do something. Go. And Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world. To go, you don't sit.
Right.
You go.
Now, if I were the leader of that 5, though, I would be frustrated.
Yeah.
Because if it seems, especially if they're focusing their single mission on those Bibles.
And basically they are.
If they are, they're making a terrible mistake, because best I can look, folks in Pickens County and surrounding area are going to hell in a handbasket, and they need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
And these 5 also need to add to their ministry and out some kind of a local outreach to undergird and strengthen. And instead of sending Bibles, language Bibles in 500, they could be sending them in 5,000 and have a lot more people helping than just those 5 people.
Yeah, and I think the parable of the gifts and the talents that the Lord tells about. He gave one fellow 1.
Yeah.
He gave one fellow 5. He gave one fellow 10. But the 10th man with the 10, he got busy and he got 10 others.
Yeah.
The one with 5 got busy and he got 5 others. The one with the 1 didn't get busy. He just sat on his in a safe place.
Yeah.
And when the Lord came for an accounting, Then the one with the 10 said, Lord, I got 10 more than I've been busy here for you. And God said, well, I'm going to make you ruler of 10 cities. You've been busy. And the one with the 5, the same thing with 5 cities. But with the 1, he took his away and gave it to the one with the 10.
Yeah.
And so I guess what we're trying to say as we talk about knowing God's will be revealed to you through many methods. One of the methods is the church.
Right.
But the church has to be about studying God's word, has to be about seeing needs. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for them trees, I could see the forest out there. But we forget the forest is the trees.
Yeah.
And God is intending for us, me not only to be soaking up the benefit of the church and its wisdom and its help and its encouragement, but God intends me to be doing those things too.
Well, for example, I mean, I know your church is involved with missions.
Right.
And I know your church gives abundantly to the association,
right,
to the state convention, through the cooperative program, and you do a lot of things in a lot of different ways, and I know that. And I ain't bragging on you, I'm just reporting.
Right.
But when you came in a while ago and we started this lesson, I said, you saw dressed up. That was the implication.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I said, where you been? And you've told me you had some visits to make.
Amen.
Now,
some of them are prospects too.
That's it. And the visits we make, Herschel. I made one week, not last week, but week before last, of a new family that had come into our church, and had just come in as visitors, and they've remained that way.
Right.
But I thought that I needed to go check with them and find out a little bit more about their lives and on everything about them. And so the visitation can be, and it is a tremendous ministry that anybody in the church can do if they will do it. And visiting and communicating the message of God's love and grace through Jesus Christ is God's will.
Absolutely.
For every last one of us.
And that's the way the church can can lead people to know God's will. we're not talking about limiting it. Now, Lord, do you want me to go to Brazil, or do you want me to go to Africa? No. Lord, you want me to go across the street there and see my neighbor?
Now, you're getting down to where it ought to be.
Right.
All of that is included in and combined for the ministry through the gifts that God has given to us and for that very purpose.
Absolutely so. So what we're trying to say is that people influence people. Now, Jesus ran into a situation one day. They came out of the temple, and the disciples said, Lord, have you ever seen how wonderful this building is? Look at all those rocks up there. Now, I don't know, you've been over there.
Oh, yeah.
I have not.
Well,
tell us about
everything over there. Listen, everything over there is rock. and it is. They have some ornate, and they have some wonderful buildings and wonderful structures, and even the temple. The temple was built, and the wall around the temple area was built out of stones that were half as big as this house.
So they were bragging about.
So
now, Lord, look. I realize there's a Gentile down the street there that he's gonna go to hell, but Lord, look at this building.
Yeah.
Look at all these big rocks.
Isn't that something?
Look at all that gold that is involved in there, in the works in there. And Jesus said, what did he say was going to be the ultimate end of that building?
Oh, the destruction of it. It would be, there would be a stone on top of the other. It would be torn down. And now, it has been. Because in 70 A.D., Titus went in there and he killed millions. And he also tore the buildings down. And some of the rocks now, Herschel, I believe he tore down because they ain't been moved.
Right.
Around the outer wall of what is now part of the Temple Mount,
mm-hmm.
They're just laying dormant, laying on top of one another. And the Muslim and the Jews, whoever was the builders of it, they didn't use them in the reconstruction of it, of the Temple Mount, where you see the golden dome and you see the black top dome.
Right.
And so they didn't, when they did all of that, they didn't use all those stones. But that's what Titus did and his army. He came in and he killed millions and he destroyed the temple. He destroyed the walls of Jerusalem. And I mean, it was just a mess.
Yeah. And the very thing that they were so proud of when they punched Jesus and said, Lord, look over this good building we got here. Big, elaborate building. I mean, it's one of the wonders of the world.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that they said, look at all that gold. But the gold, when the fire was set to the building and it melted and ran down among those rocks, is the reason the rocks are torn down and scattered around. I don't know if any big ones are still there or not, because I've never been. But what I'm trying to say is that building was not what the Lord was the most proud of.
No.
They were proud of it. It was their heritage. It was their identity.
And he's still not proud of our buildings.
I preached revival for opinion several years ago in a church, and the day I got there, I knew something was wrong. And I said to the pastor, I said, sir, what's wrong? He said, look at that middle aisle in the church, and it was so narrow, you almost had to turn sideways to go down. On the outside were big old wide aisles. You couldn't, I don't know how they'd get a casket down that thing, unless they held it up over their head and walked sideways through there. But he said this church split over whether there ought to be a wide aisle in the middle or wide aisles on the outside. And they decided, since Grandpa was involved with building and putting those wide aisles on the outside, that's the way it was going to be. And it split the church. It split the church. Buildings are okay. I worshipped in one, I guess it was this past week, and it was an ornate, beautiful building, beautiful, and nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no.
If it is used properly, and if people understand that that's not the church, and that it's to house the people, and that its only function is to make worship more comfortable or more appealing to the people, but the people are the church. And they're the ones that can help us know the will of God. Because somebody says to me, and when I, many years ago, when I started out as a young preacher, there were old men of God who, some of them were preachers and pastors, could give me advice and tell me things I didn't know. I'd never even been to church, but for a few years there before I surrendered to preach, I was called to preach when I was 17 years old, joined the military to get away from God. But some of them old preachers and older members of the church offered me advice that I didn't find in a book, I didn't find in some school somewhere, but they guided me to know the will of God. And my first church on a high Sunday. I'm talking about when this is a high Sunday. It might have been Easter or Christmas, because, you know, everybody goes on Easter and Christmas. And they might have had 20 people in it. But that church had an old man, well, had really two old men and a lady in it that were very wise. And they did more to form my understanding of my obligation to God than any school or any book I've ever read.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is. It is.
That God had them there,
right,
just for you.
Just for me. But not for me only, because I've known three or four other preachers.
Right.
That they took them in as ignorant little preacher boys that didn't know nothing. And, well, I guess they did know nothing, and taught them and loved them.
Yeah.
And when I look back, I had Dr. So-and-so that made an impression on me, but I had this dear couple, Mr. Earl and Miss Ollie Merle. They made an impression on me. And then Mr. Talman, he was blind, but he made such an impression,
yeah,
on me also.
Yeah. God can do His work if we'll let Him. And He will do His work if we let Him, too.
So what we're trying to say to you is get you a God-believing group of people that is the church, and let them guide you and love you and put stop signs in front of you and then put green lights in front of you when it's one of those situations. And you will find the will of God. But I tell you, you can't know the will of God until you know the Savior, the Son of God. How do they go about doing that, Brother Ben?
Well, it's just so easy, Herschel, that it's staggering sometimes, mm-hmm, that individual after individual seem to have a great deal of problem dealing with the spiritual things that cause them to be saved. They associate a lot of things, walking the aisle, the baptism, and all of that in advance of a real spiritual experience with the Son of God.
Right.
Now, when I wasn't necessarily interested in being baptized, but when I gave my heart and life to Jesus, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
And so, any of you that are listening to me now that are troubled about anything about joining the church or anything about being baptized or anything about becoming a member of the church, don't fret small stuff.
Right.
Because that's in some ways, that's part of it. The big stuff is, are you willing to turn your life over to the Lord and say, I have sinned and I'm sorry for it. But in my being sorry for it, I am also willing to turn my life completely over to you and let you forgive my sins and cleanse my life and make me a part of this body of believers that you've been talking about. And when you become that and that willing, then the Lord's going to save you. I mean, He's just going to cleanse you. He's going to make you into a fit vessel of service for Him if you'll let Him. And if you'll follow His leadership, a lot of times individuals will get saved and do nothing.
Yep.
And when they get saved and do nothing, they've done a great injustice to the work of the kingdom of God, and next of all, to their personal relationship with God Himself.
Amen.
And His Son, Jesus Christ. So just ask God to forgive your sins, acknowledge that you are a sinner, and repent of that sin, and His cleansing blood will make you into the soldier of God that He needs you to be.
So we don't sing, "What can wash away my sin?" Nothing but the baptistry waters.
No, we sing nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do it with, I pray, with some exuberance.
Amen. And how do you learn about that? When I was saved, honestly, I'm ashamed to admit it, I didn't know where Genesis or Revelation was.
You didn't have to, Herschel.
No, I didn't.
The only thing you had to do was recognize your need.
That's right.
And turn that need over to the Son of God. And when you did that, He saved you and then gave you a thirsting for knowing where Genesis and Revelation was.
Absolutely.
Or knowing where Amos and Hosea was. And so, that to me, that's just part of the wonderful work of the kingdom of God.
Amen. And you know, opinion, God had had a wonderful preacher, and I don't mean to glorify the preacher, but what I'm speaking of, he preached the word of God. He preached that I was a sinner. He preached there's a hell that's hot. He preached there's a heaven that to be desired. Place of glory and place of joy and peace, and then there's some dear old saints of God, and because we're talking about the church, knowing the will of God. I can remember Ms. Weems in our church where I was saved. She probably was 70s, and she had her hair in a ball on the back of her head.
In a bun.
Okay. I can remember seeing her out there, and I know first time I got to preach, after I finally got my mind straightened out and my heart straightened out, I know she was sitting out there praying for me.
Yep.
She was sitting out there praying for me. So that's the church, and that's the kind of folks, and that's the route God wants us to go to. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit, but we have the people of the church that can guide you in knowing God's will.
Let me tell you an experience of a friend of mine, ours, Junior Hill.
Yes, sir.
Junior Hill is probably the best and greatest evangelist in the state of Alabama.
I got all the respect in the world for
Junior Hill. Now, Junior tells a story in some cases when he's preaching, and I've heard it. He said he went into church one time and he said it was cold as a North Sea codfish. And he said like nothing was happening the first couple of services. But he said there was two old ladies on the front bench of that church. He said every time I got up to preach, their heads went down in prayer.
Amen.
And he said, those ladies got to praying and I got to preaching. And he said, that turned out to be one of the greatest revivals at that time he had ever been in. Not because of his preaching.
Amen.
But because of God using him, because those dear ladies were praying fervently and earnestly and honestly for him and for that service. And that souls need to be saved, and the strength and presence of God need to be felt.
Amen. That's what a wonderful story. And I know him. I know he was an humble man of God. He was a powerful preacher. And it was because the church.
Oh, yeah.
Various people were praying for him just like
that. And he prayed too. He was a prayer.
He surely was. Well, I hope you got a grasp of that. Now, if you're not a member, first of all, if you're not saved, it is our prayer so concerned for you, because you just don't know how awful it is to live life lost and then to die and be lost when you do. But we're praying for you. We don't know you. We'll probably never meet you in this life. But you do what Brother Pinion said there, and you will become a child of God. Get in a church that believes in the Bible, believes in Jesus, believes following the Holy Spirit's leadership, and where love is, where people love each other. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll have to try to hide from the will of God because it'll be so plain.
Amen.
You just have to try to go get under one of the pillars under the church there to hide. Because God will reveal His will in circumstances like that.
Be like a mole and try to get underground.
That's right.
Can.
But God will follow you there. One of them old ladies with that bun on the back of her head will come there to the edge of it and find you and pray for
you. Amen.
Okay, well, my goodness, we've had a good time on that part, but we got to go on next to the next part in verses 4 through 6. Godly actions are caused by the Holy Spirit.
Let's read it. And now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Let me say again, godly actions are caused by the Holy Spirit. So, number one, godly gifts, though they are different, are given to various Christian people only by the Holy Spirit. That's what this said.
Yeah.
Brother Pinion, take a moment and look at those verses and let's talk about those gifts, the different kind of gifts there are, especially beginning in verse 5 there. But go ahead and read that again if you want to.
Well, I'll just read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's discuss that for just a minute, Herschel.
Uh-huh.
In your life and in my life, God gave gifts.
Then.
And for you it was one thing, for me it was something else. And that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about a diversity in order to meet some needs wherever you've been,
right,
through your gifts, and wherever I've been through the gifts that he gave to me.
Amen.
And when those things take place, we're in the will of God.
That's right.
And individuals that worry about the will of God in their life, if God is using things that you do to enhance His kingdom and to glorify His name, you're in the will of God.
That's right.
Don't change. Don't be looking for it anywhere else.
Right.
Because you're already there.
Amen.
And when you're already there, don't frustrate God by looking for something else.
That's right.
Just keep on doing. I mean, it's sort of like a hammer. When you get a good clean hammer, when I was young enough to do a little construction work,
mm-hmm,
and you had a good hammer, you didn't, every time you build a building or every time you build a shed or a shack or a bridge or anything like that, you didn't go out and buy another hammer.
Mm.
You use the same hammer.
That's right.
And same way now, with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life,
mm-hmm,
every time God blesses you with a sermon or a ministry or somebody to get saved or somebody to just get all excited about Jesus because of the way things are going in your church and in your life, then, you know, you're not going to worry about, well, we got to do this different.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep on doing the same thing. I had a 1100, Remington 1100,
mm-hmm,
shotgun.
When
I was young enough, I still got the gun. But when I was young enough to lift it up and shoot, I didn't look for another shotgun.
No, it did the job.
That was all the shotgun I needed.
That's right.
And that's all the shotgun I used was that Remington 1100. And in fact, I wore it, I did it so much, I wore parts out in the trigger housing, and I never did get them fixed. Just put a piece of tape over it and keep going. And same way with this, as far as our gifts, they're the gifts of the Spirit, and just keep on using those same gifts.
And those same gifts, now, you know, Brother Pinion, this is 2019. They don't work now like they did in 2012, do they?
Who said that?
Well, that I want you to argue that it ain't true.
I believe they work the same now.
That's right. Same God?
And same God, same Spirit, same diversity of gifts, and same needs.
Mm-hmm.
In the general population, the same needs are there. And so when that takes place, why change?
That's right. If that 1100, you were a bird hunter, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
If it would, you throw it up and line up with a bird, and if you carried the bird home in the sack, you didn't need to go get you another.
I didn't need another gun. Uh-huh. Didn't need another gun. And I love to dove shoot.
Yeah.
And I got to where I could do it pretty good. And that's not bragging. That's just simple fact.
Mm-hmm.
But, and every time I did, you know, I didn't kiss the old gun. But I tell you what, I sure was proud of it.
That's right. Well, I had one too, and I'm like you. You don't need a brand new gun every year. Them's the same kind of doves that fly the same way now that did 10 years ago. And that same gun, if you got the tape on that trigger housing right, it'll still be effective.
And you watch a carpenter with his carpenter's belt on, with his equipment around his waist. And he'll have a hammer hanging on it, and the head of that hammer will be slick as a button.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's used that hammer again and again and again and again.
And he likes the weight of it. He likes the balance of it. He can hit a nail with it, and a good carpenter, about 2 licks, and the nail's sunk.
Gone.
Yeah. So, but I thought somewhere along in there you'd get to talking about that feed house I built down there.
No, I ain't mentioning your feed house today.
Well, I ain't going to get into it to say, except Brother Pinion said it was a crooked feed house, and I got to go with it. But anyhow, it was not the hammer's fault.
No.
It was not the level's fault. It was Brother Herschel's fault.
Well, it did sort of lean toward Aunt Nancy's.
But I think the old horse that lived there
didn't know the difference.
Nah, he enjoyed that feed out there. And it is with us. Some of us making swing the hammer harder, making swing the hammer straighter. But God's word, God's message, God's love, and God's will, not the same for each one of us, but the same thing will work every time.
You built your house, didn't you?
I did.
How many hammers did you use in it?
I used my one hammer.
Amen. I rest my case.
And it did nothing. If there's anything wrong with the house, it ain't the hammer's fault, I tell you.
Right.
Okay, let's look at some more gifts there, though. And
well, he says there are differences of administrations, but same Lord. And
administration means ministry, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that and whatever the Lord lays on, puts before you.
Mm-hmm.
See, the administration of the will of God has got to be something that we pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably close to what he's talking about. Okay. But he's using diversities of gifts, mm-hmm, and administrations and operations. But he comes down in that last verse 6, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. He's talking about the gifts in verse 4. He's talking about the administration in verse 5. And he's talking about different operations in verse 6.
So, godly gifts that may be different. Godly ministries may be different. But however it is, if it's all done for the glory of God and to please Him, we will be in the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be in the will of God. Well, our time's getting by, and I'm telling you, we're having a good time. If we had those other two guys here, I don't know where we'd have more.
Oh, listen, I'm so glad they ain't even here.
But anyhow, the third thing that we're going to talk about is the multiple Holy Spirit gifts. And we've just about done that already, but we're going to see if we can fine-tune it there, Brother Pinion, we'll read that scripture.
All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
So the Holy Spirit is the instrument that drives the nail of God's will into our life. And Brother Pinion he's talked about all the manifestation of these various gifts. One person given by the Spirit is given wisdom. Another one knowledge. And on down the line that we could name every one of those things. The gift of healing, the gift of miracles. And I'll tell you, if there's anybody in the world could tell you about healing, my daughter was injured in a terrible car accident and was not supposed to live, but God healed her. Just recently, they did find on one of her tests swollen out or they thought about ready to burst artery, and they did more tests, and the very doctor that operated her on first said, I don't understand it, but that thing has been sealed off. It started bleeding. Now, I'm telling you, an aneurysm, when it starts bleeding, you're dead.
Yeah.
And most times, even if you're laying on the operating table. But he said, it just stopped. He said, I don't understand that. I do. God stopped it.
Yeah.
Because we were praying.
He had something else to do.
Absolutely.
For her to do.
Absolutely. So, listen, seeking God's will, you don't have to go somewhere and pay somebody a lot of money to try to figure out God's will. Go to the church. Go to the people that God has prepared to give you advice and to give you, that have been given wisdom and knowledge and have been shown God's will from the Bible. And they will direct you and they will point you in the right direction. How do you know God's will? Well, one of the ways is through the people of the church, the believers.
Yep.
So you get you a good Bible-believing church that believes in God, believes in prayer, and believes in the will of God that comes through them. And God will direct your path, and He will give you the knowledge to know the way that you ought to walk. And you can walk and please Him. Now, thank you for joining us today. It means so much to us for you to do that, for you to be a part of this service, part of this lesson. And tell somebody about Jesus today.
Amen.
Tell somebody about the church today. Tell somebody about God's love and what God has meant to you and how He has directed your life. I hope and pray that next week we'll find you right back here on the radio joining us as we go on and learn more about the will of God. May God bless each of you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.